Welcome to The Commentaries, a podcast series from TAN in which you'll learn how to read and understand history's greatest Catholic works from today's greatest Catholic scholars. In every series of The Commentaries, your expert host will be your personal guide to not just read the book, but to live the book, shining the light of its eternal truths into our modern darkness. Visit tancommentaries.com to get your copy of the book and to subscribe for access to all the great reading plans, new episodes, bonus content, and exclusive deals for listeners of The Commentaries.
Today is day 14, and we'll be covering chapter 8, part 2, in the TAN edition of the book, covering the profession and oblation of merciful love of the little flower. But before we jump into this timeless memoir and spiritual guide, let us begin with a short prayer composed by St. Therese, titled To the Holy Face. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. O adorable face of Jesus, soul beauty which ravishes my heart, vouchsafe to impress on my soul thy divine likeness, so that it may not be possible for thee to look at thy spouse without beholding thyself. O my beloved, for love of thee I am content not to see here on earth the sweetness of thy glance, nor to feel the ineffable kiss of thy sacred lips, but I beg of thee to inflame me with thy love, so that it may consume me quickly, and that soon Therese of the Holy Face may behold thy glorious face in heaven. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost, Amen. The story of a soul, the autobiography of St. Therese of Lisieux, written in her obedience, received universal demand as it illustrated her spiritual childhood. Pope Pius IX said that it, quote, brought great profit to souls, quote, and it's because it kindles charity to those readers. Last time we discussed the holy hours and how Jesus works on souls mysteriously before the most sacred sacrament of the altar. And then we talked about the prophecy of the little flower, how she knew that she would go early. Today we're going to look at the importance of those called to leave the world and how they should not delay once they know that God has called them. And then we look at, amongst other things, the victim of merciful love. Saint Therese speaks of drowsiness throughout the day. Was it the start of her decline? Was it the food she ate? Today, there's a bunch of information about intermittent fasting and the health benefits of the keto diet to give consistent energy. But she needs to make a Thanksgiving all day, and she makes a brilliant supernatural response at her tiredness in these words. But this does not keep distractions away, and I am often troubled by drowsiness, with the result that I resolve to continue my thanksgivings for the rest of the day, because I've made such a poor one inquire. As you can gather from this, Mother, my path is certainly not one of fear. Our Lord Himself encourages me to follow it, and I always know how to be happy and profit from my miseries. Then we look at some spiritual maxims. The first of her desire of wanting to be forgotten. A second one, all her accomplishments need love. And thirdly, how created things should bring us closer to Jesus. So listen to these beautiful words of the saint. True, happiness on earth consists in being forgotten and in remaining completely ignorant of created things. I understood that all we accomplish, however brilliant, is worth nothing without love. Instead of doing me any harm, these gifts, and she was speaking about painting and poetry, lavished upon me by our Lord, unite me even more closely to Him, for I realize that He alone is unchangeable, and that He alone can satisfy the multitude of my desires. So we see how in the midst of her daily life, not so much in formal times of prayer, but God comes to her throughout the day. We'll see that again later on. Then we see the importance of those called to leave the world, to get out of the world. It is a danger to so many souls who don't leave in time to their vocation. And so Thérèse gives us an example of how important it was for her sister Céline to leave the world. Only one desire remained, my fondest, and with good reason, the most unrealizable, that Céline should enter the Carmel of Lisieux. I had, however, sacrificed this desire and left my darling sister's future solely in the hands of God, though I was prepared to see her go off, if necessary, to the ends of the earth. I longed to see her, like myself, the spouse of Christ, and to see her exposed in the world to dangers I'd never known was a source of great suffering to me. My feelings in regard to her were rather those of a mother than of a sister, full of loving solicitude for her soul. Once, when she was going to a ball with my aunt and my cousins, for some unknown reason I felt unusually anxious, so much so that in a torrent of tears I begged our Lord to prevent her dancing. My prayer was answered literally. Normally she danced most gracefully, but the future bride of Christ could not dance that evening, while her partner shared her fate, finding it impossible to do more than walk very slowly, solemnly backwards and forwards with her. To everyone's great astonishment, this embarrassed the unfortunate young man so much that he vanished and did not dare show himself again for the rest of the evening. Then we see the moving last moment with Thérèse's father. God called Father to himself last year on July 29. Father, who had gone through such trials and was so saintly, How sad that interview was, and this was the last with her father. As I expect you remember, Mother, when it was time to go and we were saying goodbye, he raised his eyes and remained for a long time pointing to heaven. He did not need to say anything. Only one phrase and a voice choked with tears, in heaven. So he wasn't able to pay much attention with his illness, so he communicated by pointing his face towards heaven. And isn't it so true how so much is expressed by the face? For we can see the soul when we look at the face of a person. Then we see Thérèse's confidence in praying. She asked that a sign be given to her after her father passed, showing that he did not have to go to purgatory, because since he made himself a victim of love, he suffered so greatly on earth. You know, my Jesus, how much I have desired that Father's trial should count as his purgatory. I long to know if this desire has been fulfilled. I do not ask you to tell me yourself, I only ask for a sign. You know the attitude of Sister X's to Celine's entering, and I will take it as a sign that Father has gone straight to heaven if she no longer raises objections. How infinite is God's mercy, how ineffable his condescension. He who holds the hearts of his creatures in the palm of his hand and fashions them as he wills changed this sister's heart. She was the very first person I met after finishing my Thanksgiving. She called me over, and there were tears in her eyes as she spoke to me about Celine's entering, and it was obvious that she was really eager to have her with us. It's just so beautiful if we could learn how important prayer is and conduct our lives focusing on that as the means of changing hearts for the better, instead of using external ways of changing people's hearts. It's so remarkable. And if we pray like Saint Thérèse and people come to God, people come to the ways of truth and holiness, we don't even have to tell them that we prayed for them. What a beautiful secret to keep. And then it is apparent that Thérèse has entered a rare state of the unitive way. Remember, dear reader, the purgative way deals with those still in sin. The illuminative way means those have a mercenary love of God. That means they want to serve God, but they do it because they get something out of it. That's what a mercenary is, a soldier who doesn't fight for his country, but fights for pay. And the last one, the unitive way, those that get into that level love God for himself. Thérèse went from desiring suffering to love Jesus alone. This is the height of the spiritual life. We should all strive similarly. And this is what she says. My only desire now is to love Jesus even to folly. Yes, I am drawn by love alone, no longer desiring suffering or death, yet both are dear to me, and for a long time now I have looked on them as harbingers of joy. And this is the key. Ask that God may do his will completely in my soul. So this abandonment is one of the necessary tools, dispositions in order to be risen by God to the unitive way. And notice how I talk about the passive. You know, we have to dispose ourselves. How God draws us, he will draw us to this level. That's because in the higher levels of the spiritual life, it's about God taking over, and we just allow him to take us where he needs to take us. And that's what the story of the soul is so good, is about exemplifying these levels and how to achieve them by the example of a very holy person. Then we see how industry, which is a virtue that one is very efficient with their time, and St. Alphonsus Liguori made a vow never to waste any time. But industry in the spiritual life is summed up in these words. How sweet the way of love, mother. One can fall, I know. There may be infidelities, yet love knows how to turn all things to profit. Quickly consuming everything which might displease Jesus, and leaving at the bottom of one's heart nothing but deep and humble peace. Listeners, ever notice how God seems to come during work and not as much during formal prayer? At least this is the case for some. Their prayers are answered when they're moving from one task to another. And this happened for the little flower as well. Every moment, he's guiding and inspiring me. And just at the moment I need them, lights, till then unseen, are granted me. Most often, it is not at prayer that they come, but while I go about doing my daily duties. This is why it is a spiritual maxim that one fulfills one's state in life. And that's essential for growth in the spiritual life. And doing one's duty is how one can live one's state in life. So if someone's married and they're a wife, their duty is normally to take care of the house, and the father to take care of the breadwinning, and the children, their state is to be obedient and honor their father and mother. And then we see the true fear of the Lord is for every soul. Thérèse received so many graces. It seems to me that if everyone receives such graces, no one would dread him, but love him with an unbounded love. For it is love rather than fear which leads us to avoid the smallest voluntary fault. And so that's why the gift of fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, because it's the lowest of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. But when we see God as our Father instead of as a dictator or as an authority, then it's much easier for us then to become close to him in the way of union. Then finally, one of the most important themes for today is Thérèse's victim of merciful love. She did not feel to be called a victim of justice, and she said that the victim of justice are those who offer themselves as victims of justice, offering themselves the punishment deserved of sinners. But this is what she said, "But I also know that the fire of love is far more sanctifying than the fires of purgatory." So she wanted to love. That's how she wanted to be, a victim of merciful love. And that brings us to the end of day 14 in our study of the story of a soul. Thank you so much for listening and for joining me on your journey to grow deeper in your spiritual life. Next time, we'll be discussing Chapter 9, Part 1, in which the little flower recounts the beginning of her mortal ailment of tuberculosis and the dark night of the soul. She gives a few points and beautiful analogies to help one discern what it is like to be in the dark night of the soul. Until then, God bless.
This has been an episode of The Commentaries, a podcast brought to you by Tan. To follow the show, study more of the greatest Catholic classics, and to support The Commentaries and other great free content from Tan, visit tancommentaries.com to subscribe and use coupon code COM25 to get 25% off your next order, including The Story of a Soul and countless more spiritual works to deepen your interior life and guide you to heaven. Thank you.